Today, just like always, people that all come to MCC Austin expecting to worship God in a way that offers renewal, rest, joy, forgiveness, and meaning to their lives. People will come to church on Sunday mornings all throughout July expecting that God will meet them here. And God will. And even though most of us would say that that's enough, the truth is most of us want even more. We want God to meet us here in the sanctuary in the manner in which we are most comfortable or in the manner we find most appealing. Some of us want God to meet us in jeans and a t-shirt, smelling like grandma's kitchen, gathering us up in loving arms and assuring us that everything is going to be all right. Some of us prefer that our worship service be like an audience with royalty. We like to see our God as Christ the victor, wearing robes and a crown and ushering in God's dominion. Some of us wouldn't recognize God in any of these forms, but can always find God in the glow of a candle's flame or even in silence. During the month of July, just as we always do, we're inviting God to be glorified in scripture, sermon, sacrament, song, and more song, specifically the songs of the musical stage of Broadway. This can be a challenge to people who feel a bit uncomfortable about the faithfulness of creating worship services around themes suggested by musical theater. But I just want to say, bear with us. Give it a chance. Allow yourself an opportunity to encounter God in the here and the now. For you see, when we seek, we do find. And as we open ourselves up to experiencing the divine in different ways, we will. So today we present The Prom, a musical with music by Matthew Schuyler. The musical opens with the PTA of a school board in Indiana announcing that they are canceling prom because a student named Emma wants to bring her same-sex partner to the prom. The school board is afraid of legal action if they only ban Emma from the prom, so they cancel the prom. Meanwhile, far away on Broadway, D.D. Allen and Barry Glickman star in a musical that is bashed by the New York Times. D.D. and Barry are criticized for being too self-absorbed to sell their characters. So, to improve their image, the two actors decide to take up a cause so that they will appear selfless. They team up with two other actor friends, Trent Oliver, who is an actor and Juilliard graduate, down on his luck, and Angie Dickinson, a lifelong chorus girl who never won a lead role. After searching where else on Twitter to find a cause, they find Emma's story, and they decide they are going to Indiana to help her. Well, back in Indiana, Emma is facing severe bullying. But in the midst of it all, she reminds herself to breathe.
Note to self, don't be gay in Indiana. Big heads up, that's a really stupid plan. There are places where it's in to be out, maybe San Francisco or thereabout, but in Indiana without a doubt, if you're not straight, then guess what's bound to hit the fan? Just breathe, Emma, not everyone is that repressed. Just breathe, Emma, it wouldn't be high school without a test. Just close your eyes. Just breathe. Just breathe, Emma. Remember that thing called oxygen. Just breathe, Emma. Look at the crazy state you're in. Just smile and nod, although they're jerks. Say namaste and pray it works. And like we've discussed, just
note to self, don't be gay in Indiana. Note to self, it wouldn't be high school without a test. Emma is singing about one of the most common of all high school experiences. Do I dare be myself? Do I dare be true to myself? Show everyone who I am? The stakes are high for that choice. I came to a new understanding of how high the stakes are surrounding that choice to be our authentic selves during a chance encounter on the 4th of July. I left the general conference on Thursday evening to take in the fireworks display at Disney's Epcot Center. As I was looking for a place to sit so as not to block people's view by standing, you know, I saw what I thought was an empty seat, but a woman was saving it for her husband. Anyway, she invited me to squeeze in. I talked briefly to the woman, and then, when he returned, her husband. Turned out, he was an army chaplain, and he had served previously a Lutheran church in Round Rock, Texas. And yes, he knew about the Metropolitan Community Churches. We talked further, and he explained he now works for a government organization that treats veterans with PTSD, especially those with moral injury. You may not have heard this. Moral injury is the damage done to one's conscience or moral compass when that person perpetrates, witnesses, or fails to prevent acts that betray one's own moral beliefs or values. He gave examples of moral injury: the sniper who had to live with killing people, the officer who had had soldiers killed under his command. But moral injury is often more subtle than that. It's the career soldier who says, with tears in his eyes, "I spent 12 of the 20 years my children were growing up away from them, away from my wife. I should have been with them. I should have been a husband. I should have been a father. Who am I?" We don't always figure it out. But when we do, we often have to make the choice whether to be true to the beliefs and values we hold for ourselves. Should Emma come out? Should she not? Should you become who you are? Tell the truth about who you are, what you believe? You know, this isn't an LGBT issue, right? This is a human issue. Should you tell the truth about who you are, what you believe, even if it sets you in opposition to your family, to your friends, to your church? Isn't it possible this is at least in part what Jesus was addressing in today's scripture? Let the little children, let the least of these come to me. Do not hinder them, for the dominion of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, unless you become like one of these children, you will not enter the dominion of God. Here's the thing about children. They lack guile. They are who they are. Children sing at the top of their lungs, in tune or out. Children dance like nobody's watching, but they're secretly hoping everybody is. Children wake up every day ready to tell you who they are, not who they have learned that society wants them to be. Children are authentic. And if we love and value and protect them as we should, children are innocent, imaginative, loving. Children would not know about moral injury unless we adults allow a world to be created in which they must. Emma is making the choice to be authentically Emma. God bless her. God bless you when you choose that path for yourself. Back to the musical. Mr. Hawkins, the school principal and Emma's ally, informs her that he has spoken to the state's attorney and that he believes they have a good shot at getting the prom back on. The school holds a meeting with the PTA to discuss having the prom. Just as they begin to make progress, Dee Dee, Barry, Angie, and Trent barge in carrying protest signs. After the PTA meeting, it is revealed that the girl Emma wants to take to the prom is Alyssa, a popular but closeted student and the daughter of the president of the PTA. Alyssa and Emma argue because Alyssa is frightened by and embarrassed about all the publicity around the prom. Emma assures her that she didn't want this either and that she just wants to be with Alyssa. Meanwhile, the old actors, Barry, Trent, Angie, and Dee Dee, attempt to hold a rally to show their support for Emma and inspire action on her behalf. But the only show they can book is the halftime show at a monster truck rally. There they perform their hearts out alongside the non-equity cast of Godspell that Trent is on tour with. They sing about acceptance.
Flowers accept the rain and grow more beautiful. Babies accept their mother's breast so they can grow strong. I accept that I was born a handsome man. So join with me and sing this acceptance song. Let us accept one another. I know it's truly hard. We're sisters and brother. Here's what I learned in Juilliard. Bigotry's not big of me, and it's not big of you. Let's all work together to make rainbow dreams come true. Ladies and gentlemen, two-time Tony Award winner, Dee Dee Allen.
Acorns accept the sun and turn to mighty oaks. Sperm whales accept fresh sea air through their blowholes.
Blowhole bumblebees accept they'll die within a year. And they still flap their soon-to-be dead wings. Let us accept one another. Forget your politics. We're sisters and brothers. So let's not be total jerks. Bigotry's not big of me, and it's not big of you. Let's all work together
to make rainbow dreams come true.
Ladies and gentlemen, the non-equity cast of Godspell and one-time Drama Desk winner, Barry Glickman.
Accept me. Accept me. Accept me, accept me, accept me, accept me, accept me, accept me, accept me. Let us accept one another. Join our fight today. We're sisters and brothers.
Make people hear us when we say, bigotry's not big of me, and it's not big of you.
Let's all work together. Let's make a rainbow.
And make rainbow dreams come.
Acceptance, 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 acceptance.
Let's make rainbow dreams come true.
Acceptance.
It's easy when you're a member of the LGBT community or any marginalized community to think that your safety, your happiness, and peace of mind hinge on being accepted. We're thankful to people like Trent and the others who lobby for acceptance, who preach acceptance on our behalf. But we too often leave out the other side of the equation. We too often ignore what it means to us to offer acceptance. If we go back to our scripture, Jesus, before the part that we read this morning, Jesus has been arguing with the legalists. They've been trying to corner him about divorce, adultery, all matters of law. It's an interesting moment. Because in the heat of all that argument, Jesus calls a timeout and says to all those gathered around, all those who would deny the children, let the children come. He urges them to accept the presence of the children, accept his love for the children. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Rabbi Jesus understands that the blessing of acceptance is not only for those who were unaccepted. The blessing also extends to those who learn to accept. The legalist and the disciples alike need to learn acceptance, not only because it is a gift to those they accept, but also because it is a gift to themselves. Those of you who are familiar with the Big Book and 12-step programs know something about acceptance. You're aware of the part that goes like this: acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Notice how we leave the door open for changing the things we can at a future moment. So another question I have for you to ask yourself is, where have I not accepted? I hope you'll think about that personally. Whose behavior or choices will you not accept because they are different from your own? Not because they harm anyone, but just because they are different. We saw that play out over and over at last week's General Conference. We had those, for example, who revered the language of the Old Testament, who called God and Jesus alike Lord. And we had those who complained about the sexist language of those who used the word Lord. And we had conversations about who can become a member of the church, whether it was only baptized Christians, whether it was only those baptized with water. And when was it that we started accepting infant baptism anyway? We couldn't accept with grace each other's differences when they weren't even harmful. Where in your life do you need to learn to accept what does not harm? Let's bring this story home. The state's attorney rules that the school must hold a prom. With the prom back on, students begin to prom pose to each other. Emma officially asks Alyssa to this new prom, and she agrees, promising that she will come out to be with Emma. What Emma and Alyssa do not know is that there are now two proms being planned, one for all the normal kids and one for Emma and Alyssa. They are devastated when they discover. Following the fake prom, the media frenzy around the whole event increases. The actors encourage Emma to step up and become the face of the story, but she is too frightened. Alyssa meets with Emma to apologize, telling her about all the pressure that her mother puts on her to be perfect, but Emma is unable to accept her apology, and they break up. But Emma doesn't give up. Emma uploads a video of herself singing with her guitar about her struggles and her longing for acceptance, but how, despite all of that, she is proud of who she is, and she will not hide anymore. She inspires other members of the LGBT community in the area and all across the country who comment on her song and offer their support, tells her how her song has helped them. The video goes viral, forcing the school to reconsider. The actors, the old guard, want Emma to finally have a prom, but the school doesn't have the money for it. The old guard steps up to donate, including self-absorbed Dee Dee, who donates $10,000. The PTA is furious over the possibility of a new prom, but the students voice their support for an inclusive prom, having had their minds changed by Trent. Accept me, accept me, accept me, accept me. The school, seeing how good Trent is with the kids, offers him a position as a drama teacher. Alyssa comes out to her mother, the PTA president, in front of the entire school, which causes her mother and the PTA to back down. Alyssa's mother is at first devastated by the news, but begins to become more and more open and accepting and agrees that she will listen to her daughter. The school puts on another more inclusive prom, and LGBT couples from the area attend, along with the straight couples of James Madison High School. Emma and Alyssa finally get their dance. Oh, and one more cheer-worthy moment. Barry finally gets to go to prom.
I'm oddly excited. Perhaps it's because, although it shouldn't matter, it somehow does. It's strange, but I feel like I'm in a time machine. 'Cause guess what? I'm suddenly 17. So book a white limo, uncork the dom. After 29 years, I am finally going to prom. I once thought a night like this wasn't in the cards. Now I've got a date, a tux, and the whole nine yards. A rational person would just stay calm, since one of my rational berries going to prom? The prom! I wish I could tell that sad kid I was to stop crying into his Cheetos. They say it gets better. Guess what it does? Who cares if you're a big old girl? Just go to that gym and twirl. In showbiz, I never felt such a thrill divine. My date is a high school lesbian. Still, it's fine. And though it's been years, I might call my mom and tell her that though it's overdue, all of my waiting's over too. And if you're not happy, I'm over you, 'cause Barry, yes, Barry, look at me, mom, Barry's going to the prom.
Barry, at the grand old age of past his prime, gets to relive his youth. And isn't that one of the main themes of this story? That tension between the old guard and the youth. You know, this has been on my mind a lot over the last 2 weeks. On the one hand, there's MCC and our general conference and all the complaints that of the three moderator candidates, all of them were over 60. Theologian Brian McLaren, who addressed the general conference, talked about how none of us sitting in the room celebrating the 50th anniversary of MCC would be there to celebrate the next 50. Cecilia Eggleston, our new moderator, pointed out that she was in her 20s when she started a church. Troy Perry was in his 20s when he founded Metropolitan Community Churches. And former moderator Nancy Wilson was in her 20s when she became an elder. And I don't know how many of you caught the Democratic debates a couple of weeks ago, but did you hear all the talk about passing the torch? And did you hear Kamala Harris saying, I'll pick up the torch? Well, all of this has been on my mind, and it's made me a little uneasy, and I finally figured out why. Because we are talking about the wrong thing. We should neither lay down the torch nor take it from somewhere else. We should simply light the torch. Jesus didn't hand it off. He didn't give it to someone else. He didn't take it from anyone. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world. I'm through talking about handing off the torch or taking it from someone else. From now on, when you think about this tension between the older and the younger, I just want you to remember that it takes the talent, the tenacity, and the experience of the old actors combined with the idealism, the heart, and the passion of the kids to make this all work. And when you think about that handing off the torch or giving it up, I want you to instead think of this. Think of this sanctuary on Christmas Eve when the Christ candle is lit and all of us hold our candles and one candle goes to that Christ candle and takes its light and shares it with two more and four more and 80 more and 200 more, and the light is amazing and not one candle is diminished. I've shared with you this morning the story of the prom, a grand production, but here's what I leave you with. It does not take a grand production to change people's minds. It does not take a grand production to inspire people or make things happen. It takes you being brave enough to be who you are and sharing your story and singing your songs.